The League of Legends betting podcast is brought to you by my patrons at patreon.com/gelatilol. There you can find bonus content like in-depth articles on macro trend analysis and league previews, as well as thoughts on breaking news and the podcast picks before the show is released to platforms. You also get to support your creators more directly. patreon.com/gelatilol. That's G-E-L-A-T-I-L-O-L. Good afternoon, everybody. It is currently a little after 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern on Wednesday, my dudes, March 20th, 2024. Just recapping briefly the morning in the LPL and LCK. LPL, we had an absolute donut of a day, just 0 for 5 on our bets here. I guess we'll go in reverse order here. OMG, 2-1 against Bilibili Gaming. Bilibili won 2-1. I apologize. We had the map 1 OMG play here. Side choice for OMG and map 1. Figured they'd be competitive there. Absolutely got steamrolled. Game was not close. It was a 24-minute win for BLG. Game 2, a little bit of a back and forth over the first 19-20 minutes or so. And then OMG took over the game. Even against the Smolder here, they played with the Jinx. A couple of really, really nice flanks on Nico from Linfong. Somebody brought to my attention yesterday, you know who you are. I didn't mention this on the show yesterday, but for those that don't know, Angel's father passed away, and that's why he wasn't playing today. His father passed, I think it was the day of or the day before their last game, and he actually played the last game. When I was kind of talking about Knight having his number and all that stuff yesterday, that could have come across as really insensitive or whatever. It wasn't. I was aware of the thing. I just didn't mention it. It's really, really unfortunate. I hope everything's all right with him. And I hope, the best for his family and everything. But I was strictly just talking about the games at hand. And, I wasn't trying to dunk on anything like that. So anyway, BLG came back in game 3. Just another lopsided stomping. And Bilibili got the win. Yeah, we just had the wrong map. This has come up a couple times. It is what it is. The map angle is strong in the LPL. It's a very real thing. And unfortunately, we just sometimes you lose on the map side. Sometimes the team wins offside. That's all. Other match was LNG versus Anyone's Legend. We had Anyone's Legend on the map spread. This was kind of a frustrating one. I thought the second game they probably should have won. They were up pretty big at one point in this game. Not huge, but they were up. I think they were up 1,500 in the first 12 minutes or so, and they were carrying that lead pretty well. I thought they had a nice composition set up and everything, and they just could not deal with the Twisted Fate. Twisted Fate just made these fights an absolute nightmare for Anyone's Legend. They just could not navigate. LNG did a really, really good job of doing the concave thing and absorbing the initial blow without losing anybody, and then they just cleaned up with TF would end up getting 7 or 8 gold cards off in a fight, and they just could not deal with that. They just picked, really good target selection from LNG. They just picked them off one at a time, and that was that. LNG, slowly and steadily improving. This was a very clean mid and late game series from them, and that's something that I've been, criticizing them for this season, so it's good to see them improve on that. That's important if they're going to make any noise in playoffs. I do think this team could be in the right matchups, could make some noise in playoffs as a big underdog, so we'll have to see. Wait, 0-5 in the LPL, that always sucks, but we did pretty well in the LCK. LCK, we had two matches. First, we had Gen G versus DRX. First game was a Gen G stomping. Hit with flying colors. That was not good for us. We had the overs for 1.5x stake. We ended up hitting 3 out of 4 of these. This is the one that we missed. The second game of this series, DRX were very live to win this. They subbed in Frog in the top lane. They were very, very live to win this, but they kept opting into the, we saw this a couple times today, teams opting into the Tristana-Orianna matchup and the Orianna just winning. Not sure you want to play that matchup against Chovy. anyway, they were live to win this game. I thought they were in really, really good shape. They had the 480 carry comp, but it was kind of an interesting setup. But eventually, Keem was just unkillable, and Chovy got massive. Chovy ended up side laning and catching a bajillion waves. He was 3 levels up on Kehu at one point in this game. So They had a, DRX had a shot in game two. They were very live, but didn't get there. Got let's see, T1 Nongshim. First game was one way traffic for T1, but we did get our kill total over there, even in a 23 minute game, which was cool. 27 kills in 23 minutes was kind of a sweat. The second game, boy oh boy, so the second game was honestly quite depressing because so Nongshim tried the Smolder, super brave against T1, who were an exceptional early game team. Tried the Smolder, were getting the shit kicked out of them because Karia counterpicked with the Rumble support, and they just kept bullying and bullying and bullying and bullying, and like Jiwoo was just completely out of the game on his birthday and everything. And what eventually happened was like it stalled out. And Nongshim were, like, able to stave off and pick up a couple dragons to stave off the soul stack. And this game turned into, like, an almost 50-minute bonanza where T1 just really struggled to close because Smolder got online and they just couldn't win fights clean. And it took an Elder and multiple Barons to get this one done. Nongshim, once they turned the coin, like, they were down, like, 7 or 8,000 gold, but, like, it was at the point in the game where it didn't matter as much anymore. Because T1 couldn't close with the huge lead when they had it because of the Smolder effect. Nongshim had a very real shot at winning this game too. And it would have been awesome if they did. But they didn't. They ended up losing. And, you know, it is what it is. But they gave us a game effort and the kill total over got there. This was like a 40 kill game, so it was never in doubt. We ended up down like a quarter unit for the day just because I whiffed completely on everything in the LPL. But I think the LCK underdog plays, given the prices, were actually warranted yesterday. And, you know, they were, you know, we got a game effort in one game from both dogs. So that was kind of all we asked for. We just couldn't get the bets home. Got the kill total over, so 3 out of 4, though, which was good. All right, moving on to week 8, day 4 in the LPL. I'm going to be going through this slate pretty quickly. I'm mostly just reading off the Patreon post today, guys, just because I'm very, very short on time right now. I have to get going to work. First match, we have Ultra Prime plus 119 on the money line, plus 1.5 mass at minus 246, minus 1.5 at plus 332 against EDG, Edward Gaming, minus 145 on the money line, minus 1.5 at plus 197, plus 1.5 at minus 144, or minus 444, I apologize. EDG, this is the third time that they are favorites. They are 0-2 as favorites, 0-2 against the map spread as favorites. Like, guys, why are EDG minus 145 against anyone? This is one of the worst teams in the league. Ultra Prime are also one of the worst teams in the league. In fact, the model makes these are the two worst teams in the LPL via the model. You know the deal with this. Anytime you get these toilet bowl style matchups, just take the plus money. Like, neither of these teams is decidedly better at any one thing than the other, so just take the plus money. EDG are starting 0-9-0-9. Fisher, obviously, I'm not going to go into all that, but Fisher got benched. 0-9-0-9, I don't really know much about. Sometimes just fresh blood is invigorating for a team. Other times it doesn't really change anything. I think this team has a ton of underlying problems. I don't think this is going to magically fix everything, but you never know. Just take the plus money dog in a toilet bowl matchup. Ultra Prime also have side choice for this match, which is an added bump. I played Ultra Prime plus 125 for one unit and Ultra Prime minus 1.5 maps at plus 332. This is good for anything better than plus 110, so have at it. Derivatives up for that market, but I would probably lean toward kill total overs if they do end up posting anything, but there's like nothing up for these matches, so if anything happens or gets posted, I'll update. Next up, we have Rare Adam plus 410 on the money line, plus 1.5 maps at plus 112, minus 1.5 at plus 960 against the Ninjas in Pajamas, minus 571 on the money line, minus 1.5 maps at minus 135. NIP 9-3 against as favorites, 6-6 against the map spread, though. Not particularly great there. Rare Adam, 4-6 as dogs, 5-5 against the map spread, 16-9 against the kill spread with an average spread of plus 7.9. Rare Adam, their last six games, they played their most recent two matches both went to three games against Team WE and FPX. They beat WE outright, and they took a game off FPX. They have not had a significant deficit at 20 in any of those games. Now, WE are not an early game team, but FPX are. So the fact that they were able to keep that series against FPX competitive was a boon. It was very, very encouraging. Rare Adam, you know, what's wild with this team is like that it seems like every time you think you've found out that they're terrible, they just have a series where they're good. I think the model actually made NIP, like a bigger favorite than this, not by much, but like enough that it was like, oh, maybe I should play NIP in this contest. I'm going against the model here, and I'm going to play map one rare Adam. I think the model weights recent performance more heavily, but it doesn't like it still doesn't like ignore like the full season sample. And rare Adam have been a pretty bad team over the balance of the season. It's just the last like three or four matches they've actually been pretty competitive. I think they've done something to change things, and it's working for them, whatever that may be. It just could be that like Azir is disabled and they always suck against Azir. I have no idea. Like, it could be something like stupid like that, but it could just be like the regular, you know, getting better over the balance of a season. But RA are looking better recently. RA have side choice for this. I played map one rare Adam plus 8.5 kills at minus 122 for one unit. They are excellent against the kill spread, so I like this. I also put a quarter unit on the rare Adam map one money line at plus 247. And I put 0.1 units on the Rare Adam series money line at plus 410. Mostly just think this is a little bit heavy-handed. Rare Adam are out of playoffs. They have nothing to lose. NIP have been a little bit sloppy in general, and you can kind of get them. And teams have had kind of a tough time blowing out early leads on Rare Adam, at least recently. So, yeah, we'll go with the spicy underdogs there. Next up, week 9, day 2 in the LCK. Again, caveat, reminder that this is the final week of the regular season. Some of these teams have their positions locked, others do not. This first match is an interesting one. We have KT Rolster plus 203 on the money line, plus 1.5 mass at minus 171, minus 1.5 at plus 538. Against Hanwha Life Esports, minus 255 on the money line. The Hanwha sweep is at plus 140. Hanwha, a perfect 12-0 as favorites, 9-3 against the map spread, though. KT Rolster 2-4 as dogs, 3-3 against the map spread as dogs. We know the deal with KT Rolster, back them as your fade them as big favorites, back them as big underdogs. The last time these two squared off, it was Hanwha minus 163, KT plus 134, and Hanwha had side choice for that match. We're up to a much higher number on that. What are they collecting? What's that like? An extra like 7.5% win equity or some shit like that. I'm just doing this off the top of my head. Or implied probability, rather. KTF side choice for this. The model makes KT shorter than this. KT is big underdogs. They're a high volatility team. We like to embrace high volatility teams as underdogs. All that's working in our favor. So I played that. The other concept here is that I just want to point this out because it's possible that this happens. KT Rolster are basically only playing this week to determine who has side choice against D plus in that match. The two of them are squarely locked into 4 and 5. It's just a matter of who's going to be the 4 and the 5. Hanwha Life are actually battling for a 2 seed, so I would expect them to have a game effort in this as well. Let me double check that. Yeah, they're still battling for a 2 seed. They can still overtake T1 if they. They basically have to win out, though. They have to win out, and T1 has to lose 0-2. So there's a chance that Hanwha Life don't really give a shit about this series. Keep that in mind. There's also a chance that KT don't really give a shit about this series. But what do I like when we have a competitive underdog and a favorite that might not necessarily, give a shit about this series? I like kill total overs. KT have been an over team in general, not like against the spread, but their kill totals have been significantly higher priced and they're still getting over quite often. This match projects at like 25.4-ish combined kills per game. We have macro headwinds in our favor with this patch and the general uptick in kills around the globe on this patch. So I played the map 1 and map 2 to over 24.5 kills at plus 119 and plus 116 for one unit each. I also played the KT Rolster, map ladder here. So I played KT Rolster plus 1.5 mass at minus 171 for one unit, KT Rolster money line plus 203 for 0.25 units, and the KT Rolster minus 1.5 mass at plus 538 for 0.1 units. Just think it's an interesting spot here. D plus Kia, next match is D plus Kia minus 510 on the money line, minus 1.5 at minus 125 against Kwangdong Freaks, plus 373 on the money line, plus 1.5 maps at plus 104, minus 1.5 at plus 879. D plus 8-2 is favorite, 6-4 against the map spread. KDF 2-6 is underdogs, 3-5 against the map spread. Kwangdong need this series. Right now, they are ahead of Fear X, but they're only up by one match. This match would essentially lock playoffs for them, I believe. I don't know if that's mathematically true. Let me see. I believe if they win this match, I don't know if it's mathematically true, but this would go a long way toward securing the sixth seed, the sixth and final playoff seed. They're trying to fend off FRX, who are the only real challenger for them. So Kwangdong need this match. You should expect a game effort from them. D+, as I just discussed, are really only deciding the fourth and fifth seed against KT Rolster. So there's a chance you don't see as much. You could see them take the foot off the gas, especially because of the series they had this weekend. A couple really high leverage games that they played this weekend against tougher opponents. The model definitely makes Kwangdong a value here, like very, very much so. This is a huge, huge value spot for them via the model. But D+ do have side choice. The price is roughly the same as it was the first time these two faced off, and D+ didn't have side choice then. They were also a lot shakier then. Now, Kwangdong won the first meeting 2-0, but that was back in week three when, you know, D+ were kind of a big question mark for certain series. They were kind of a little bit shaky. They've gotten a lot better since then. Stylistically, this is a brutal, brutal matchup for Kwangdong. D+ are an incredibly good early game team, very good up-tempo team, and Kwangdong have a lead at 20 minutes in just 33% of their games, and they're not doing a great job of stopping teams from running them over. They've had a very, very bad early game the last few weeks, albeit against some challenging competition. I think this is, like, normally I would bet Kwangdong, thinking this is a value here, but I just think there's a chance that in at least one of these games D+ are just going to completely steamroll them, run them over. I am betting kill total overs here. I usually don't like doing that when I think a team can steamroll. Like, if I think usually if I think one team is going to run the game over, I really don't like playing kill total overs because you're not going to get much of a fight from the other team. But Kwangdong have been such an over team. As underdogs, they've gone over their kill total. Average kill total 23.3. They've gone over the kill total 13 out of 18 games as underdogs this season. Obviously, they have an extremely high combined kills per game. They have an extremely high combined kills per minute. They have a lot of kills per loss, a lot of deaths per loss. They have an average deaths per loss of 20. That's not median. I forget what their median is. It's also pretty high, but. Yeah, they're an over team as an underdog. Even when they lose, they tend to like throw themselves at their opponent, which is very odd for who's coaching this team. But I played over 25.5 kills at +115 and over 25.5 kills at +108 on maps 1 and 2, respectively, for one unit each. I think, you know, this is also like a correlated way to play the underdogs as well, because underdog wins tend to be kill total overs. There's a correlation there. And I kind of wanted some piece of Kwangdong, but I think this is kind of a rough matchup for them. So this is kind of a way to split the difference, getting a good kill total over and then getting a piece of the underdogs, like, tangentially or correlated at the same time. So that's going to be it for me today. I will catch you guys tomorrow, and good luck.